Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Our youth are in a mental health crisis, and we have a guest today to help explain that crisis and then look for solutions. Welcome, Jeremy Hall.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Jeremy, your day job is being the superintendent of education for the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
That's right. Yes.
And you come with a fair amount of youth experience.
Yes. I had the privilege of serving as an academy principal for 9th through 12th grades. But prior to that, I was also a boys dean.
I think that that was the critical.
Yeah.
That was the trial by fire.
Yeah. And then I was a chaplain Bible teacher as well. And so my educational training before I went into education was actually in psychology as an undergrad, and then a master's in community counseling. So I'm a limited licensed psychologist in the state of Michigan.
Well, it sounds like you're well qualified to be our subject matter expert for today. Jeremy, would you have a word of prayer for us?
Happy to. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to discuss a very important issue of mental health and how it affects our young people. Lord, we pray for our listeners out there. We don't know who exactly will be listening to this program. Maybe there's a parent that is just really struggling and doesn't have answers to some of the questions that they have regarding their child. We don't know, Lord, but we know that you do. So we pray you would anoint this time with your Holy Spirit and that the things we discuss would be pertinent and germane to those that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Jeremy, as adults, we look back at our youth, we look at our young people, we look at our grandchildren, and they say, oh, they are so strong. I wish I had that strength and that vigor of youth. But is that vigor on the inside?
Yes, I think all of us would like to find the fountain of youth, but we're probably talking more about our chronological age. If we were to go back to our youth, we would discover, I think, in reflection, that there are a lot of questions and a lot of things specifically around identity, who we are, how we fit into society, that young people are really, really struggling with.
They haven't fit into their groove.
Correct. They don't know who they are yet. And they're discovering that, and they're pushing off a little bit more from parents making all the decisions, and they're starting to make some of those decisions. But they're feeling in the they're kind of blind as they go forward, because they don't know exactly who they are, and they're really determining that a lot of times by the relationships they have with their friends.
So they're defining themselves by their peers.
A lot of times they are.
Are in the same boat.
Yes, that's right.
The yeah. blind the leading blind the blind. Blind.
That's right.
That, no pun or there's yeah. no negativity
no.
to that, but it's reality. But let me think, I say, has it always been that way? But maybe it hasn't always been there yet, in two ways. One is youth throughout the ages always had to find their own way in their own place. Jacob had to find his own way, and he had to leave home in order to find his way in some ways. He had the parental background and anchoring, but he had to experience the world. He had to go visit Laban.
Yes.
But on the other side, I mean, shepherds, their kids were shepherds,
mm-hmm.
and they knew that when they grew up, they were going to be shepherds.
Yep.
But today, it's different. There are so many things, unless you're in a family business and you're already designated before you're born, you're going to be taking over the family business. There's a lot of choices career-wise,
mm-hmm.
but I think that also leads to even more instability because they don't know where they're going, what they're doing occupationally. Internally, they're saying, if it's not my career, if I don't have something here, who am I?
Yes. And one of the things I would say when I was serving as chaplain at Great Lakes Adventist Academy, great school, by the way, when I was serving as chaplain of that institution, I had a day for teaching class as a Bible teacher, and then I had a day for chaplaincy responsibilities, which part of that was counseling young people. One of the passages of scripture that I utilized the most with young people is Isaiah 33:6.
Okay.
And the reason I used that passage was because our young people coming in and speaking with me would many times talk about how their feelings were driving their decisions. Whether it was discouragement, depression, because they felt like somebody didn't like them, or even they didn't feel like God was with them or liked them or loved them because of a decision that, or an answered prayer that he didn't give them. And so I would share with them Isaiah 33:6, which is wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the surety of salvation. The reason I would share that with them is because it's what you know and it's how you use what you know that will give you stability. Feelings are unstable. They're wonderful things. Feelings and emotions are gifts from God, but they're the icing on the cake.
Or the byproduct, not the driver.
The byproduct of a thought and a decision, exactly. And so what we're seeing happening is young people are being moved left and right, forwards and backwards, by how they feel about a situation. And I think the devil is an expert at motivating, especially young people, by their feelings. And the reason for that is because if he tries to use cognitive methods, he's going to get beat by the fact that the Bible is truth, and it's solid and it's stable and it's not moving.
He can't win at that game.
He can't win at that
game. So he gets on a game that he has control.
That's
or
right.
Influence.
That's
on.
Right. And so feelings are a very powerful influencer when it comes to young people. And what we're also seeing is with the increase in the use of media, social media specifically. And there's data out there that is showing that the use of social media is causing more rates of depression. There are young people that commit suicide because of their perception of themselves based upon social media. And so that's something our parents really need to keep in mind when they're looking at the kinds of things their young people are interacting with.
You know, as a side issue, it seems like the devil is trying to separate the children from the parents, mm-hmm. especially if you have good parents. He says, I've got to get in there with something. And there is multitude of things. And the poster child is social media, but yep. there's a whole lot more.
That's right. And another thing that is happening, I believe, is the power of choice. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Satan wants our young people to make difficult and bad decisions, because if they make bad decisions, they're going to have with them a backpack of guilt, regret, remorse, and that can then affect the trajectory of their lives. It doesn't mean that it has to be negative, but it just means that it's harder for them. And so he influences their choices, and by those choices, it correlates to sometimes how a young person feels about themselves. And then that affects them being able to solidify their identity. We want them to solidify their identity in Christ, and some of these negative choices that they make affect that ability to have the connections with God and with those around them.
Let's get practical. Let's talk to your area of expertise, and that is education. Young people, a person is confused. Maybe they turn to substances like marijuana, which is now freely available,
right.
which is another story.
Right.
And the documentation is in on how destructive this is.
Mm-hmm.
But they do this during their formative years, the years that they need to be academically engaged. And so they are not going to excel in their mathematics. So that option of being a scientist or a database, mathematic-centric career, that got moved off the table. That's
right.
Not even an option. And then maybe they have, start a family at the wrong stage of life, mm-hmm. at the wrong time,
mm-hmm.
with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
That takes more young people off the table. And now they're down to doing a lesser of their choices when they become old,
mm-hmm.
and when they have their opportunities have been limited. That's just one aspect. You're doing a seminar. We happen to be at the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists Cedar Lake Camp Meeting, where mm-hmm. we so many wonderful seminars. Yeah, next year, folks, you'll want to make sure we have listeners that are here this year.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some of the seminars, some of the presentations. Those people are here this year, and we're planning for next year of inviting more people to come and worship with us and get closer to God.
Amen.
But tell us a little about the seminar. What is the seminar that you're teaching, and what is the objective?
Well, the title of the seminar is I Thought So.
I thought so. That must be...
It's a little bit of a play on words.
Okay.
But the Bible says in Proverbs that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Okay.
So the devil is doing everything he can to affect our thinking. And it goes back to that passage of scripture in Isaiah 33:6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Our young people don't have a fully developed frontal lobe. Your frontal lobe doesn't really develop fully until you're 25 or 30. And so before that time, there's some challenges when it comes sometimes to moral reasoning. And that's also why the devil, when he's trying to get young people to make difficult choices, really pounds them at that age range, because he knows that the ability to make some of those decisions is not fully formed.
If you affect a bonsai tree early in its life,
yeah,
that determines the direction it grows.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. And if you look in the Bible, Joseph did not become prime minister of Egypt until he was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at David didn't become king of Judah until he was 30 years old. Christ himself didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old.
So all the rest that were earlier than that were the exceptions to
Correct.
The rule.
Even the Levitical priests, their range of labor for the tabernacle was between the ages of 30 and 50. They made some exceptions to that, but again, we see this example chronologically of allowing the body to be in the position, specifically the brain, to be in the best position to serve at those critical points in life.
To be stabilized.
Correct.
And secure in who you are and the choices you make.
Yeah.
You've talked about the spiritual side, but on the physical side,
yes,
every aspect of that is affected.
Yes.
And if the devil can divert you at your young people at that early age, he has... diminish the effectiveness, and
right,
that he's destroying the kingdom of God, and
yes,
we are the kingdom of God.
Correct, yes. And so in the seminar, we cover a lot of things. We wouldn't be able to talk about all the things we talked about in our seminar, but some of the key things were looking at some of the data that's out there right now.
Just throw a couple things at us.
Yeah, well, we have information and data that's coming out that's really showing the mental health crisis that we are in right now for our young people.
And it became intensified during
because
COVID.
Because of COVID, exactly. 15% of our youth experienced a major depressive episode in 2022. 10% or 2.5 million youth in the U.S. have severe major depression. That's a diagnosable clinical level
disabling,
of depression. Disabling and it becomes this tunnel that you can't see outside
when
of. When they should be flourishing. 60% of our youth with major depression do not receive any mental health treatment.
Untreated.
Scary. Yeah. And even in our country, the United States of America, one in three are going without treatment. So we're seeing a significant, and that's from the Mental Health of America 2022 statistics. So we're seeing this impact on our kids, and not only that, on our adults, because the youth that we have now are going to grow up into adults.
Yes.
And so we begin to perpetuate this challenge that we're seeing as a mental health crisis. There's some financial costs that mental health is having on our country. It's to the tune of $300 billion a year. Serious mental health is a significant public health concern.
It's almost unfathomable.
Oh, yeah. And $193 billion in loss of earnings because of mental health, missing work, $100 billion in healthcare expenditures, $24 billion in disability benefits. So we're seeing the personal and familial effects of mental health. We're also seeing the effect of it on our economy. And we know and understand scientifically and physiologically that the brain and the body work together. In psychology, we call it the psychosomatic effect. So how mm-hmm. you feel mentally affects how you feel physically. And then how you feel physically, if you're struggling with an illness, can affect also how you feel mentally. And we know in the Bible that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2:7, and man became a living soul. So the key ingredients here is the body, the dust, combined with the breath of God, man becomes a living soul. So you can't extract the body from the mind and separate the two. We do not have an immortal soul. The Bible clearly spells that out for us. So it is definitely something that is real. It's causing anxiety, stress, depression, worry, and guilt. And so what we did with our seminar is we talked to those that had come and tried to present to them some things that they could do as parents that would help with some of these mental health challenges. And in the description of the seminar, I basically said, be prepared to be challenged.
Okay.
and they let me stay in the room as I was sharing, because we talked pretty frankly and pretty honestly. Specifically, we talked about television and movies.
So that it's not only limiting it for the young people, but that is for the parents,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, that's true. But our young people today, the kinds of things that they are watching on the television and on movies is really creating a false reality. You look at some of these movies that portray superheroes and magic and some of these kinds of things. These are false realities, but by beholding, we become changed. When these young people compare what they see in the movie of a superhero to their own life.
Going to school.
Yeah, they're like, man, I wish I could, you know, look at something and a laser would come out of my eyes.
I have to do my homework.
But I have to do my homework. And so it's a false reality. So we really talked about the effect of violence and immorality and this false narrative that's being portrayed. And then one of the things that we talked about with our attendees, if you want to help your child's mental health, make sure your own mental health is strong.
Mm.
My daughter is working through her certification to be a lifeguard. And it's interesting because you have to go out into the water and simulate rescuing someone else. She has to be able to tread water without using her hands, just her legs, for 2 minutes, simulating you having to keep yourself up while you use your hands to help someone else.
Yeah.
We cannot help someone who's drowning unless we are a strong swimmer. So we've got to ask ourselves the hard question. We have to examine ourselves. How can I successfully parent if I'm not addressing my own deficits? Does it mean I have to be perfect? Of course it doesn't mean that. But it means that we've got to be honest with ourselves. How is my personal walk with Christ? How's my relationship with Him? And how are my relationships with the people around me?
You have to be healthy in order to... modeling is huge.
Yes.
You know, if your family is intact and it's a healthy family, at least when they don't feel, the young people don't feel secure,
right,
at least they know somebody is secure.
That's right. Yes. And again, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that you're being honest.
And transparent
with yourself. Do I have these struggles? Am I denying that I've got a problem? Am I denying that there's an issue that's going on? Or am I being honest? Can I say that I'm sorry to my kids when I make a mistake? Can I reckon with myself? Have I processed some of the mistakes that I've made as a young person or the hurts that have happened to me? Have I processed those things?
And told those stories, because that becomes their stories.
Right.
And I'm also thinking about is that if you offend somebody, let's say at church, what if you apologize in front of that person, your children see you apologize, maybe you've done something, you need to apologize to the whole congregation.
Yeah.
They'll always remember, this mm-hmm. is what I do when I do the same thing.
Yeah, if a mistake that we have made has had a public impact on the church corporately, then it's good to sometimes go before the church and to do that in certain mm-hmm. situations. We have to be wise and discerning as to when that's appropriate. We also have to look at, how's my marriage? You know, if I'm married, how is my marriage? Because a marriage is a really, really specific model to a young person about what stability is and how it looks like.
Let me just jump in there. One thing I remember from my parents is they went away. And I was like, why are you going away? We're going to a marriage retreat. Well, why do you need to go to a marriage retreat?
Right.
We do this for each other.
Right.
Guess who goes to marriage retreats on a regular basis?
There
Me.
You go. Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's natural. That's what healthy people do.
That's right. Yeah. You take your car to get the oil changed because you want to make sure the engine's running well and
right.
that it doesn't burn out and fail. And that's the thing that we all need to do.
Model it for your kindness to your spouse. They'll know what kindness is with their
that's right.
spouse.
That's right. And we have to remember that the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I think parenting is one of the most challenging jobs that exist out there. Especially,
humbling.
Oh my, absolutely. I have four kids, Tom.
You feel real.
Yes, I have four kids. And I've got a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And three girls and a boy, and I'm super blessed. But boy, it is humbling because you recognize, you see the failures of your own parenting, and you have to go to your kids and humble yourself and say, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I shouldn't have spoken in this way. And So all of those things are important. I think we've got to make sure that we are honest with ourselves, and we're growing ourselves in the honesty that we're having with who we are, what our insecurities are, what our struggles are, and addressing those things. Sometimes we need to get professional counseling, which is completely fine as long as the counselor has the appropriate worldview. And unfortunately, psychology is leading the way in an atheistic societal abnormality when it comes to where the Bible is on all kinds of issues.
Thank you for the caveat.
Yeah, so we have to be careful with that. But when we look at what it means to be a parent, here are some things that I have shared in the seminar that I hope have challenged people to think. Every situation is different. Excuse me. We can't have a generalized norm for everyone, but here are some things that I'm challenging our parents to think about. Number one, prioritize your life so your kids are front and center. One of the things that we see happening in society that I think is a direct corollary to some of the struggles young people are having is both parents are working so hard. And so what's happening is parents are not getting the interface time with their children that they normally would.
Observation and influence.
Absolutely. And when you have the cell phones and the tablets and the television, it's very easy to just allow that child to just go off and entertain themselves with those devices and not have the interface time. And so what happens is when you don't have that relational capital built up, when something happens that your child is doing that is potentially detrimental to them, the parent is hesitant to step in and strongly guide their child because they don't feel they have the right to because they haven't spent the time.
They don't have the extra capital to spend.
That's exactly right. Because
it takes capital.
It does. You've got to put that relational capital in the bank so that when you need to make a withdrawal, you have that there. So spending time with our kids is really, really important. And we've got to be willing to make difficult decisions. And I want to share this with our parents.
You may have to give up the golf league.
You might have to give up the golf league. Exactly right. That's to the point that I'm trying to make. Here's something that I would like to empower our parents to remember. And that is, if you are paying for it, you can take it away.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay.
You're paying for it.
So you're
you
talking
take
about
it away.
The cell phone.
That's right. Yes.
The television, the car.
That's right. Yes. We sometimes become hesitant and our young people can take so much ownership of the things that we're actually providing to them that we don't feel like at times we have the right to take
right.
it away
That's
if it's
right.
if it's hurting them. And so take the phone away from your child if it's detrimental to them. You know what, Tom? I'm gonna say
Somebody's
something.
Somebody's gotta be the adult in the family.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna say something some may agree with and some may not agree with, but I personally don't see the need for a young person to have a cell phone really until they're probably 18 years old. A lot of people may disagree with that, but if you think about the functionality of a cell phone, there are certain situations that might create exceptions because of the need that a child has for safety if they're away from their parents in a specific context or something. Maybe they're at youth camp or whatever. But really, honestly, the functionality of a cell phone for a young person that does not have a full-time job, that does not have a spouse, that does not have a bunch of people that are wanting to get a hold of them for work or whatever, all that then becomes is a social platform or an entertainment platform. And one of the biggest things, and I actually bounced a few of these slides off of my just graduated daughter and her really close friend, and they were nodding their head when we talked about the cell phone. So yeah. That's something to think about.
Yeah, you said they don't need it till 18. We didn't give them to our kids, so I think maybe we're in your dorm at the time. But
yep.
Here's the thought to parents is that the pocket next to them has a cell phone, so they don't need one.
That's the point, and that's a great illustration. Exactly right. They should be, when they're a certain age, up until they're an adult, they should be close enough in proximity with their parents that safety really isn't an issue.
And if they are with another responsible adult, they have a cell phone that your child doesn't need.
We've had to have some hard conversations with our kids about, why can't I have a cell phone? And all of their friends around them have cell phones. But I'm just telling you that there's really not that much good that is done on a cell phone.
There's more to life than cell phones?
There is, yes. And then I would also say, take the gaming systems away. Tighten your family's entertainment standards. It's really, really difficult to find anything to watch on TV or in a movie that is really going to represent the values that you're wanting for your
and
family.
Even if you've made that choice, if something comes on, having if you thought it was clear,
right,
the guts to turn it off.
I remember
my wife, we were with some friends, brought a movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. We didn't choose the movie,
right,
and that we started playing it, and she says, "I think we should turn this off." I wasn't quite with her at that uh-huh. moment, and then eventually, yes, and yeah. then we turned it off, and then we talked about it with our visiting friends.
Yep.
But that was tough.
It is very tough. Good for her. Gutsy lady.
Yeah.
I would also suggest that you replace meaningless entertainment with relationship-building entertainment. Play games with your kids. Do things with them that will cause you
games.
To socialize. Table games. Eat meals with your kids. Make sure you have a time where you're spending that
go
interactive
to family camp
element
with them.
Yeah, do things together. Talk to your kids. Ask them tough questions. But you have to have the relational capital to spend. And remember this too: if you're wanting to remove certain things from your kids, remember to have something positive to put in its place. Don't just create a vacuum. You know, the Bible is clear about that parable of the man having the demon cast out of his house, and then cleaned his house all nice and tidy, and didn't put anything good in it. And then the demon came back and brought seven of his friends, and it was worse for the man at that point than it was even before. So make sure you replace the negative with the positive.
And plan ahead of time, because you know it's going to happen.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. So talk to your kids. Ask them the tough questions. They will respect you for it as long as you have that relational capital to spend. But remember this: be prepared in how you respond to the answers they give you. Don't overreact. If you're going to ask your kids a tough question about where they're at or how things are going, if they give you an answer that causes you alarm and it causes you to start to get frustrated, make sure you respond appropriately to that. Because if
maybe
you don't,
even plan for that.
Yeah, plan for that. Exactly. Do service projects with your kids and make sure they have responsibilities around the house. When I was a kid, I had dish duty and vacuuming duty, and we worked in the garden and all of those kinds of things. So make sure that your child feels a sense of responsibility to contribute to the family, because in the end, they'll feel good about it.
You know, Jeremy, I've seen, as we're walking around this campus, not that we know these people, but you can see the demeanor of relationships.
Yes.
And responsibility does not destroy children.
No, it actually blesses them. It really blesses
them.
It builds them up. Yeah, absolutely. And they feel like a sense of accomplishment that's actually giving them the skill set and the confidence to try things that are going to be more adult as they move into that stage.
Jeremy, what one last thought do you have from your seminar, and to parents? How can they get help?
Stay engaged. Don't be too hard on yourself as a parent. Pray, put your children before the Lord, and ask God to work in your life so you can help your kids.
So I hear you say, go to God. Is there anybody resources they can seek?
There are Christian counselors out there. You have to just be careful and diligent on how you're searching.
And their value systems,
yes,
and their outcomes that they expect.
Yes.
Are they congruent with yours?
Right. And you can ahead of time interview the counselor, and
yes,
you can share with them, I'm a Christian. These are my values. Are you able to support those values in working with me as a family therapist?
Believe it or not, I interviewed one of my heart doctors. So.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
And he appreciated it.
That's good.
Well, folks, we just whetted your appetite. Good thoughts. This is just a stepping stone. Come to camp meeting next year. Maybe
there
Jeremy will do that seminar again next year.
Next year, we're going to be doing probably a week-long seminar that's on this topic and other topics that are very, very relevant to young people.
Well, I'm Tom Mazur, for your host for Strong Tower Radio. Until next time, God bless. Bye now.